Bill DeYoung here, and welcome back to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. It's always a pleasure to speak to today's guest. She is Erica Sutherland. She is Artistic Executive Director of the studio at 620. Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's so good to see you. You look bright and colorful today. I tell you what, I wanted to tell you that the last time, I don't know if it was the last time I was at the studio, but recently it was that last play that Stephen Reardon directed. Yes. You came out and did the talk in the beginning, and I thought, okay, here comes Erica to do her pitch for giving us money and whatever, you know. And it was so warm and comfortable. It was the nicest, you know, curtain speech that I can remember ever hearing. And it made me think, Erica, that, you know, you're well into this gig. Now, it feels like you and the studio are one and the same. That's really the feeling I came away with.
Good.
Was, you know, she cares about the audience and she cares about making things better all the time. How does it feel now to be in this gig for a while?
Well, first of all, thank you for recognizing that and saying that, because that's very, very true.
It was warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, and you know, and here's the deal with the curtain speech. We all know it's coming. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hear it. We know we're going to ask for money in that speech. And so I'm like, but what is it really about? And what do we really need to remind the community and how they participate and how we see you and how we create and co-create together? So
it's when you said, we're glad you're here.
Absolutely.
That I felt embraced. And I hear that all the time, of course, but I really believed it. And I just thought of this 2 seconds before you walked in.
I really meant it. You know? I truly am thankful when people take the opportunity and time to come to the studio, because you don't have to. Mm-hmm. In the world that we live in today, do we rarely have enough time where we actually stop and breathe and come together as a collective? No. So when you choose to do that, I honor that. I see that. I'm grateful.
We're here today to talk about Tori Sampson's play Cadillac Crew, which you've directed, and it's a kind of a collab with Power Stories. This opens on Thursday the 6th, which is next Thursday. There's a very strong message in this play. I believe she wrote it while she was a student in the Yale School of Drama.
Correct.
And I read a little bit about her, but I thought, tell the world, and you know this better than anybody right now, tell the world what Cadillac Crew means. What is that?
So the actual Cadillac Crew was a movement for women, of women or with women, black and white, during the civil rights movement, where they actually, two black women and two white women, would get into a vehicle and drive through the South, helping to desegregate the South by using more of our, what I would consider our soft skills, right? Mm-hmm. So not just the big speeches in front of large crowds, but what they would do is that the black women would go into the black community and the white women would go into the white community and talk to and speak with other women and teach them how to organize, teach them protesting rules of engagement, teach them how to have all the necessary tools so that they could become activists in their own communities. Mm-hmm. And doing small things, like, for an example, and one of the examples we use in the play is that there was a few white women that finally allowed blacks to utilize the pool the last 2 hours of the day, right? Mm-hmm. So that may seem small to us and crazy or outlandish, but those were the kinds of small things that were happening because of these Cadillac crews, and some bigger things too. But,
well, big things are made of small things,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. So that is the idea or the founding of the Cadillac crew.
So this is based on something that really happened, obviously.
Yes.
And the civil rights struggle is very real, and
right,
we'll talk about that in a minute. But this takes place in Richmond.
This takes place in Virginia. Yeah,
yeah.
1963.
Okay, and it's four women. Did these four women actually exist, or is this sort of an amalgam?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. These women did not exist. So there are women in the play that we speak of that are factual women, and you can research them, that are pioneers of the movement, of the mm-hmm. civil rights movement, whether it is the civil rights movement we speak of equality and black and white, or women's rights. But the four women that are in the play are an amalgamation mm-hmm. of what women or a representation of the women during that era.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. You've talked, I've read pretty much everything you've said about this already, and there really is a very strong message here. It's not only a message of, you know, equality and what civil rights is all about, but it's also a message about, oh, here's that bugaboo, empowerment, women's empowerment. And this goes along with what Power Stories does, mm-hmm. you know, and I did the thing with Liz Powers and she told me all about it, and their show's really good. These women are doing things that hadn't been done before, in
absolutely.
Other words.
Absolutely. And not only that, I think when we talk about the civil rights movement, one, we don't really spend a lot of time on women's rights and the women's movement, right? But we talk about the civil rights movement and we tend to lean into a Dr. King, which absolutely, or we talk about a Malcolm X and mm-hmm. then their relationship with one another. But what we don't celebrate or what we don't have conversations about are the women who were the backbone of the movement.
This
who
is
really actually moved the movement forward.
Yeah, moved the needle. This yeah. is, it's fascinating to yeah. me. You find a lot of that in history.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute, this is what we all know, but there was a lot
so
more
much
to
more.
It.
So much more.
Was there any relationship between your wanting, or I don't know if it started at Power Stories or with you, so you can tell me that, but with that show called Mark Lieb's show, that just
the When the Righteous Triumph.
When the Righteous Triumph. Sorry, Mark, it took me a minute, but there, yeah. I mean, that was in the air, and it just got redone. And were you involved in that at all?
No, I was not. That was Stage Works. Mm-hmm. I have an actress that's in our current show that was involved, I believe, at least in the first iteration yeah. of that production.
Well, I just thought that, oh, it's in the air. And I thought, well, maybe that got Liz or you or whoever brainstormed doing this Tori Sampson show. Like, oh, this is good. Little known stories.
Actually, this story comes out of this collaboration. And the story comes out of my relationship with Claire Ann Despain,
oh, yeah.
who is the artistic director for Power Stories.
Yeah, she's great.
Very dear friend of mine. And mm-hmm. we always sit around and talk about what type of stories we want to tell.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer and supporter in Power Stories and their mission. First and foremost, I am female. And I create through that lens, and I create through a Black female lens, and so my work will reflect that. But we had these conversations about what stories we wanted to tell, and I would tell her, just in casual conversation one day, I was like, you know, I'm not interested in telling stories of pain anymore, of Black pain or slavery. It's not that I don't think they should exist. I think they should. I think everything has a place. What we are missing in this world, what we're missing in this in our time, is variance and spectrum.
Yeah.
So, like, we need the variance of shows. Then it won't always feel like, oh, all these shows are always about, you know, some person's pain or a person of color's pain or their history. We can have those, and we can also have their joy and their resilience. And so it balances out. And that's what I'm interested in as a leader, as an artistic leader. How do we tell all the stories? I'm here to tell all the stories. I want to talk about your joys, my joys, you know, Native American joys, along with the journey to get to those, the pain points and the joy points. I think we need a variance. And so in that conversation, Clarion, she already had this story in her head, this title.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know. Mm-hmm. And she started thinking about our conversation and decided and said that this would be a great story for the two of us, regardless if it was the studio or Power Stories at that point, but for us to collaborate on and produce. And it just so happens that we both became leaders of artistic organizations mm-hmm. And then formalized that partnership through those organizations. And she said that she asked me, she said, you are the one that has to direct this. And the truth is, this show was supposed to happen in January of this year.
I kind of remembered seeing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I got sick.
I thought I made that up.
No.
You know,
I'm sorry.
You're better now.
I'm better now.
Yeah.
And so I tried to give the story off. I was like, no, still, we can direct this. We can still go forward. And everybody, Clarion and the cast, was like, no, we want you to direct it. So we'll wait until you're better.
Same cast, the same four.
Same four.
Yeah, yeah. Phenomenal. Now, I know Andreja Mosley's in there. And I mean, she's one of my all-time favorite Bay Area actresses. Yeah. And I saw her in the one that you did over at the Bollywood one,
yes,
at Free Fall. Just not Bollywood.
Nollywood.
Nollywood. Let's say Bollywood. Okay, no, that's
India. But Bollywood is real.
Yes, that's right. That's the Indian one. Nollywood. Oh, so good. But I don't know the other four. Can you tell me who they are?
Yes.
You've
probably seen at least two of them in some aspect. Ivy Sunflower. She's done work. I know. I know she has done work at American Stage. I feel like job site, but I could be wrong on that. But I know she's out of Tampa, actress. And then we have Jay Shanae, which has done work. She's also done work at American Stage.
I've seen Jay before. I don't know her, but I have seen her.
Yes. And you've probably seen her in a lot of more musical-based productions. And so, and then we round out with Marjorie Joseph, which is new to us in our area. She comes out of the Tampa area. And so somebody recommended her when I was first looking for actresses, and she came over and auditioned, and I thought that she was really strong. And you can see, I don't know about anybody else, but when I'm looking for, actors, I'm looking, even if they have raw talent, I'm looking for that talent that's willing to play.
Yeah.
That can take a note and that has some power. Like you can see that inside them, I like to call it like they're a beast like that. Because like Andresia is a beast on stage.
Unleash the beast.
Yes. Yes. So they are, it is.
I'm never going to call her a beast to her face, though. I'm not doing that.
I can say like she is just, they're the power, like, yes, powerhouse, but absolutely. But when I say the beast, it's like what they bring. There's no holes bars when we say go, and Andresia just starts. When she gets those lines in her body and she starts to create character, she just goes and it's phenomenal. And what I am excited about is that there are other women in this show that are just like that.
That's
or
great.
On that path to that.
Did you see that during the audition process and during the whole building the perfect beast or whatever that expression? Thank you for the courtesy laugh there. But when you were putting it together, they work well together. They play off each other well.
Absolutely. So in the rehearsal process, so I came into this in full transparency, knowing that I wanted Andresia to be a part of the show.
That don't surprise me at all. I mean, she's so good.
And I love working with her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And also I felt like I needed an anchor actor, right? Someone that I knew that was going to do the work and also bring that anchor energy, that season energy into the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I wanted her. I just needed her to come into the audition and do what she needed to do to land this role. Because even though I wanted her, if she didn't show up...
and she's everybody listening, knows you know, this she's
about
listening
me.
To
well,
this.
Everybody knows this about me. So... even if I want you and you don't show up to the audition and somebody else shows up stronger, I go with a stronger person.
But these four just knocked it around like a well-oiled pinball machine, I'm guessing.
And it was so beautiful, though, Bill, because I had about 12 actresses, maybe 12 or 15 brown actresses show up. I was shocked that there was that many in this area.
That's great. Yeah,
right?
That is great.
That they were coming out. And then so I just kept moving the pieces around on the board, putting people together. And then they were the ones that ended up, they had the best chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I had some other ones that were just as phenomenal. But as a director, you are looking at the whole. So how they work together, how they look together. It's a visual picture, all of the things. And so those were the four ladies that rose out of that audition.
Now, Cadillac Crew, if I remember correctly, begins, Rosa Parks is coming to town
yes.
that day mm-hmm. to give a speech or a mm-hmm. kickoff or something. And
yeah, so
she was already a hero.
Yeah, she yeah. had everybody. Rosa Parks had already cemented herself in history, and what this was. There's a character named Rachel, and Rachel and Rosa have been talking to about coming down and doing this speech, this big speech. And it's a lot about, and this particular speech from Rosa was about women's rights. Mm-hmm. And so everybody was excited. She was on her way down. And then what happens, as a lot of things happen in our world, the men decided, no. She can't come. Or well, she can come, but she won't speak. We're going to allow a young man to speak. And what they were talking about in this show, they're talking about how this particular event, it's like 800 people are coming to this yeah. event. And there's a line that says, that Abby says, that she says, kings are made at this event. Mm. And so Rosa was supposed to be the headline, the keynote speaker. And Rachel was the one that put it together. So this was Rachel's time to shine as a leader in the movement.
And that's where the Cadillac Crew is born.
It's born out of the fact, well, it's actually born before her. So Rachel, Dr. Dorothy Height, who became the president of the National Council for Negro Women for about 40 years. She was taken under the wing of the president during her time. And forgive me for not knowing her name right now. But Dorothy Height and a woman, she is a real woman, and a woman named Polly Cohen came together. A white woman named Polly Cohen came together. And they formed the Cadillac Crews. They started that movement. Those are the two women that in history that started that movement.
Why do you think that history doesn't remember this?
That's a great question. Uh-huh. As a man, tell me.
Well, until I started reading about the play you were doing, I had no idea. They didn't teach it to me in school.
Right. And that is, and that's another one of the themes in the play is like the erasure of women in history, not just black women, all women in history and how we do it. Right. There's a conversation in there that speaks to that and why we do it. And I think it just, you know, we have to get into a place in our world where it's okay to celebrate everyone. It actually is the best thing. It's great to teach us about women's history and the things that women, you know, that we've done in the world.
You opened an art exhibit
yes.
Thursday night called The Unseen Thread. It's the subtitle, which I'm reading because I forgot, is Williams, Women's Art as Movement.
Yes.
Tell me about that. And it's going to be there through the end of November. This is kind of in conjunction with Cadillac Crew.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So one of my things is I am trying at the studio to make sure that everything that we do, it's layered. So, and it's coming out of the same world. So what this is we took the themes of the show, put together a call to female artists. So it's an all-female artist show. And we asked them to either create work or bring in work that was already created that represented the themes of the show yeah. through their lens, right?
Yeah.
And so they brought in this it is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. It's so amazing to see how
you have a beautiful smile, by the way. I wanted to just, you smiled when you said that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm blowing smoke at you.
Ah, and I'll take it.
So anyway.
But yeah, so it's about the themes.
Yeah,
they created artwork around the themes, and it's really beautiful to see the interpretations of women. And it's a collection of women. It's not just black women. And so it's a beautiful show. And the artwork is for sale. I have to keep saying that. I have to remind myself. So come check out the show. And come grab a piece.
Well, one more thing I want to talk about, too. But let's reiterate that Cadillac Crew opens November 6th, which is next Thursday, and runs through, what is it?
The 16th.
The 16th, yeah. And it's at the studio at 620.org. You can find tickets and all kinds of other info about other events, which is what I wanted to ask you about, because we've been seeing a lot more theater. And I remember when you first got the gig, you sat here and said, I want to do more theater.
Absolutely.
Is it going the way you planned it?
You know, yes. So here's what I love to tell people about this studio. The vision that I have for this studio is happening. It's in full force. The building is vibrating. The frequency is always someone there doing something upstairs, downstairs. And that's what I wanted for the space, for the mission. And I so that is the beautiful thing that's happening. And this year is our year. So we're in like phase two. And in phase two, for me, is the year that we are building our development and financial structures around the organization so it can be sustainable. Mm-hmm. Because I came into an organization, because we talked. Yeah. I don't know if we said it last time, but like this time last year, we were having real conversations about, do we close the studio? Mm-hmm. And it didn't become easier because our world became financially more tight just with the grants drying up, more organizations.
We were talking about that a year ago. Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. we are not out of the darkness in that, but so we are building the structures, the financial structures this year around making sure that the organization is sustainable from here until whenever.
You got to do that. You got to be an artist and a business person at the same time. Yeah. I do not envy you that. I can't do my taxes, you know, forget it.
Oh, but I don't do mine either. I have someone else do
okay,
that.
Well, yeah. There's lots of things I can't do. One thing is I can talk about the arts and write about it, but, you know, anyway, that's another story for another day. What I think is so fascinating, though, from my perspective, is looking at the website. And, you know, you've got your theater season kind of extended there through next June.
Yes.
And there's a lot of empty space. This is what's cool, though. There's a proviso there. That leaves room for people to come to you with fresh ideas.
Yes.
And new concepts and say, I want to do this. That's when you say yes. Thank you, Bob. You know, in other words, there are things that maybe haven't even been conceived of yet that will be going on there.
That's true. And, you know, we still have people that approach us, and our motto is still the answer is always yes. I think that the yes is different, and I had to have, because mine was the answer is always yes and maybe not. However,
well, that's okay.
But my development consultant really helped me understand our new yes. And so the answer is always yes, yes to the mission,
yeah,
right? Yes to the vision. So if you are aligning with the mission and the vision, yes, I get that. And here's what's also great. It's like our calendar is booked. We have no room. And people get so upset right now. And I'm like, unfortunately, I don't have
this
space.
Is what I'm talking about. that you look at the website and you go, okay, they got a couple of plays coming up. But I know there are other things there. I already knew that.
Yeah.
You just like you announce them when you announce them.
Yeah.
And you never really know. Me as the person out here in the public going, what are they doing over there? You don't know until a month or a few weeks before. Oh, look at this.
But we are
coming.
Trying. So we have been getting our marketing campaigns and strategies more solidified. The first thing was to lay down our theatrical production season, to get all of that in place, and then with our partners. So we have a lot our partnerships, a lot of our stuff is through our partnerships and getting those strategic partnerships solidified. And then getting them in the calendar. So our partners have things that are coming up. So for example, Dead Canary is one of our resident companies. They have another show. I just don't know what it is yet.
I wonder if Steven knows.
So I can't advertise it. But it is on the calendar, right?
Oh, yeah.
We work with 21st Century Playhouse, which is William Levingood, whichever name he goes by.
That show was really good, that last one that you directed, too.
And so he has one coming up in January. Called Drilled, the Final Term, and we have it on the calendar, but we don't have the graphics yet, so we can't. So it's just that's what's happening. Like the calendar is full. It's just we're all getting things in line, either graphic wise or there's a certain time that things are being announced, and that will continue to refine itself. And as we will be launching our new website at the beginning of the year.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I'm not here dissing the website by any means. That's not what I'm saying. I like the element of surprise. surprise.
You know, there is some surprise.
It's like when it comes into my inbox, and I go, oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
And that will always be there. Like, you will always know our theatrical season. And as, like, Dead Canary grows, because they just started, this is their second show.
Yeah.
As they grow, you will know their season ahead, like, just ahead of time. And then those other pop up things will happen along the way. They feel popped up to you, but
they're already on the books.
Yeah. Okay.
Love me a good pop up, man. I got to tell you. Hey, Erica, we're out of time. It's great talking to you.
Always great talking to you.
Let's say one final plug for Cadillac Crew by Tori Sampson. It opens on the 6th, next Thursday at the studio at 620. I guess I can't say this sort of thing enough. And runs through the 16th. You can go to the studio at 620.org for info and tickets. All the best. And we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.